Brothers and sisters, let's turn together to Isaiah 40. The good news, the gospel of God through Isaiah in chapter 40. We'll read the beginning of the chapter and the end, verses 1 through 15 and 27 through 31. In your pew Bibles, it's found on page 712, 712. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 15. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That is, double salvation compared to all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God, our God, will stand forever. Here's God's answer to what shall I cry? Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord or what man shows him or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. And then the end of the chapter, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In our text, verses 10 and 11, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 40 is such an immense comfort to believers and their children. Always has been, still is, and for good reason. Because God's people always live on the edge of the snake pit, of the devil's temptations and the world's sorrows and sin's assaults. And there's so much to take us down. And we need the good news of God, who is strong and gentle and in our midst to carry us and our little ones all the way to glory. And that's the good news. That's the comfort that we see in this passage in Isaiah 40, 10 and 11. The good news of our powerful and gentle God. He comes to a care-filled people. That's our first point. He comes to a care-filled people. Secondly, as our caring shepherd. Thirdly, who carries the little ones. He comes to a care-filled people as our caring shepherd who carries the little ones. God's good news is for a people filled with many cares. In Isaiah's time and in ours, cares mean worries, troubles, burdens that are very, very heavy. Crushing. Who need desperately good news, who need comfort. Isaiah 40 is addressing such a people. The opening words, comfort, comfort my people, come immediately after terribly bad news to Judah in the days of Isaiah. Terribly bad news to Hezekiah that the kingdom of Judah is going to be overrun by Babylon. It's going to be destroyed. The church will be carried into exile. Everything will come to ruin. The temple will be burned. Bad news. The people are in deep, heavy mourning. How is this possible in light of all the promises that we've heard earlier from the prophet Isaiah? For unto us a son is born, to us a child is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of his government and peace there'll be no end. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You gave us that news and now you're telling us everything's going to come to ruin for the church of God. And then after that good news in early Isaiah comes middle Isaiah. Shocking news that because of Judah's sins and idolatry that cover her from head to toe, God is going to punish her. Babylon is going to destroy her walls, tear down her temple, take away her people, leave the church in ruins. And then right, this is the beauty of our God. Right out of the pit of deep darkness that his people are in, and they deserve to be in, under his wrath, righteous wrath, God shouts to Isaiah, comfort, comfort my people. Give them comfort. They need comfort. God himself is so pained by his people's punishment, judgment, and distress, and he's so eager to help and save his people that he must send a herald into her deep trouble and darkness, in the pit, with good news for her. And what's that good news? It starts in verse 9. It's, behold your God. Behold your God. Behold your God is coming. He just sent you away. You forsook him. He has forsaken you. But he's coming. Behold your God. Look, he's coming. That's the good news. He's coming to his broken down people in power as a gentle shepherd. He's coming to a care-filled people. As a God of power and wisdom and tenderness. The good news is God. It's not salvation. It's not forgiveness. It's not going back to the promised land. It's not even going to heaven. It's God. Behold your God. He's coming back to get you and carry you. And hold you forever. The good news is God. And so he says at the end of Isaiah 40, where Israel is in exile in Babylon, according to prophecy, And she's complaining. Verse 27, my way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. God no longer sees us. He no longer cares. He is no longer working for us. He's dead, or at least we're dead to him. You ever feel that way? The church finds herself in that similar spot in our culture in the 21st century, where the powers of secularism have invaded and overtaken our land. And the church no longer enjoys a place of privilege or respect. And our rights and freedoms are being taken away at an alarming rate, and we are in trouble. We're pilgrims, we're exiles living in Babylon. It's difficult to raise a family when the powers of idolatry are so strong and the power of God seems so reduced and so distant and the arm of the Lord seems so short that he cannot save us. It's the way it can look sometimes, right? In the darkness. So there's the powers of the world against us, but then there's also the powers of compromised morality, compromised moral standards within the church, and ignorance of Scripture. So the church herself is so weak and failing and has become so immoral and degraded. How can we get out of this mess? What comfort, what good word is there for me and my household in this darkness? Maybe you've sinned, you feel. You've sinned your way beyond the reach of God. And all there is left for you is his wrath. You've done the same sin once too often now, or many times, and there's no hope left. Or maybe God has seen fit to load you down with all kinds of troubles for no apparent reason, and to make life difficult. And you're getting buried with worry. Or maybe you've been hurt by someone and trampled into the dust, and God seems so far away from your suffering and your groaning, and it seems like he has just left you to be devoured by the wolves. God's people are filled with many cares. We need good news. Families need good news. Singles need good news. And it's into this darkness and sorrow that God brings the good news of a caring shepherd. Verse 10, behold. Verse 9 introduces that good news. Behold your God, and then explains him. Behold, the Lord God is coming with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. Good news of a caring shepherd. That's a surprising combination of images of our God. On the one hand, a mighty king. His arm rules for him. That word ruled means has dominion. Firm grip on everything and everybody. And at the same time, a gentle shepherd who carries the little ones. And we have a hard time putting those two together. A mighty king, a gentle shepherd. Power and gentleness. Because in our way of thinking in our culture, power crushes, gentleness caresses. Power is dangerous, but gentleness is safe. Power is uncaring, but gentleness is loving. And we divide what God brings together in himself. In himself. He's both. In perfect harmony. See that? The Lord God comes in might. And his arm rules. His reward is with him. His recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. One commentator writes, there's a perfect balance of strength and tenderness in God. And this is none other than Jesus himself. God the Father is not going to send another Saul. He's not going to send another David, even though David was a man after God's own heart. He's not going to send another Asa or Hezekiah. Hezekiah, good king, messed up royally. He's not going to send somebody who messes it up and has lots of promises for you and can't deliver. No, says God, I'm coming myself. Beautiful. I'm coming myself. I'm coming in person. No one else is suitable for the work of saving us from our sins and punishment and misery and injustice. But God's own arm is going to have to do the job. He's going to come himself as the good shepherd. Behold, the Lord God comes with mighty comes. Notice those words there. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. What on earth does that mean? Well, his reward and his recompense mean he's coming with the wage that he has earned for himself. The spoil that he has taken in warfare. What is this reward? Read on. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. His people are his reward. You and me, Israel, Judah. We are his recompense. He has come in might to his people in exile in Babylon. And even deeper, Jesus has come to his people in exile under Satan's might, under God's wrath, under the curse, and redeemed us. Now we're his spoil, we're his treasures, we're his reward. He has earned us by his own death and resurrection. And he's in our midst and we're walking with him. It's a beautiful picture. Here's a beautiful picture that the Lord is coming to his people. I'm going to come to you in your exile in Babylon. I'm going to take you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And I'm going to lead you all the way back to the promised land. And we're going to go together through the desert. And the mountains will be made low. And the valleys will be filled up so that we have smooth traveling. Of course, all kinds of troubles. But because I'm there, I will make it smooth for you. I will take you. It's such a wonderful picture. His reward is with him, his flock. And there he is, leading Israel from Babylon back to the promised land. Of course, the greater picture is from death and hell and destruction to God and heaven. And he's fought for his people in exile, for men, women, children, pregnant mothers. All these are listed here. And he's redeemed them from their exile, their heartache and trouble, from their pain and misery. And he's walking in their midst on the road home from Babylon. And how is Jesus leading? Not as a merciless tyrant cracking the whip over them and harshly yelling at them, come on! But as a tender shepherd, it says he's going before them and with them. So the picture is, he's right in the midst of his people and the crowds of his people are surrounding him. And he's at the center as their mighty king and gentle shepherd. And he's going with them home. And he's paying a special attention, verse 11, to the little ones, the lambs, and the pregnant moms, for whom the journey is long and difficult and especially tiring. This is our God. And brothers and sisters, there are two basic things that every person in this world needs more than anything else. Our two most basic needs. We need a person who's extremely powerful and extremely kind. You will not be saved. You will not get out of your mess, out of your trouble, out of your darkness, out of the enemy's assaults, unless you come or a person comes to you, you meet a person who's extremely strong and extremely kind. Extremely strong to save us from the grip of the things that are too heavy for us to carry. Satan's attacks can beat up on us so mercilessly. And he's too strong for us, a roaring lion wanting to devour us. Temptations pull. Those temptations come at us through the weak points, on the weak days. We were strong yesterday and suddenly we get sucked into its vortex. Too strong for us. The world's persecution and threats and offenses at the truth of the gospel. Too strong for us. Afflictions and worries. Too heavy to carry. Tasks too big. Like raising our children in the Lord's ways in the midst of a crooked and perverse culture. And most of all, what's too heavy to carry? God's eternal wrath. We need someone who's extremely strong. Who is so mighty that he can actually take the weight of God's eternal wrath off us, take it upon himself and quench it. He must be divinely powerful to be such a person. That's Jesus Christ. And we need the second thing, remember, as a person who's extremely kind. So that when we are suffering for our sin or under the devil's assault, and we don't deserve to be saved, he looks at us, he hears our cries, and he is moved to come and help us. What good is it to have a powerful king who doesn't care, who's not merciful, who allows you to sit in what you deserve? Thinking of the leper who came to Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I know you can, but are you willing? Jesus said, I am willing. Be cleansed. That's our Savior. And he stretched out his hand and touched that dirty, stinking, infectious person. And healed him. And blind Bartimaeus crying out for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. And people are telling him to be quiet. Get out of the way. Don't bother the Messiah. And he stopped. His cries stopped him. He said, what do you want me to do for you? I want to receive my sight. He said, bring the man to me. And he healed him. Extremely powerful. Extremely kind. That's our God. Extremely powerful. Extremely kind. This is the tender shepherd who loved us so much. Isaiah will tell us later how he got his people as his reward. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. We should have stayed in the hellhole of Babylon, never to come out. Pay for our transgressions. But he came. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There. God himself has come in his Son. And the Father has laid on his Son the iniquity of us all. Extremely powerful. Only God in our flesh can carry that load. Extremely merciful. Only God is willing to go through such misery for undeserving, unworthy sinners. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we try to carry life all alone because we think that the burden is too shameful to share. Or sometimes we think we shouldn't be such weaklings. We should be able to handle this. God isn't impressed with weaklings, but He is. He is. Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. That's why He's such a gentle shepherd. The Mighty One has come in our flesh and has faced absolutely everything you will ever face. And He knows how that feels. And when we're feeling it, it pulls on His heart. He's in every way tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need power in your struggle with sin or being sinned against? Darkness, worry, financial hardship, wisdom to know what way to turn? You need power, you need wisdom, He's got it. You need mercy because you've sinned yourself into a hole again. You brought this upon yourself, upon your family. He's got it. He is it. Jesus. Let the cross, the resurrection prove to you His power and mercy. He's everything. Alec Mochir, your problems may be agonizing, but your God is tender. Place all your fears and frailty before Him and ask Him to quiet you with His love. Well, thirdly, the good news of our powerful and gentle God is that He comes to a care-filled people as a caring shepherd who carries the little ones. He will tend His flock like a shepherd, verse 11. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. What a beautiful picture of our mighty God and Savior carrying babies. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, fiercely protecting us from all who would try to snatch us from His arm. No one will snatch my sheep from my hands. At the same time, a tender shepherd who is as gentle as a lamb with us. And who holds on to the weak and the little ones of His flock. Now, in a sense, that's all of us, the little ones. We're easy prey. We're weak for sin and Satan and sickness and suffering. But He has a special place in His heart and in His arms for the weakest and the most vulnerable among His people. So take a look at this picture again from Isaiah 40. There is God, this mighty arm, going to Babylon, rescuing His people and walking back with them, flattening the hills, raising the valleys, taking them back to the promised land. And He's walking in the midst as their shepherd. And there are these little kids. Wah, getting tired. It's hot. Dusty. They can't take another step. They're too weak to bear the heat of the day. What does Jesus do? What does our Lord God do? It says He gathers them in His arms. That means He picks them up, He scoops them up, and He carries them in His bosom, holds them close to His heart, says the NIV, and that's the picture. Oh, I got you. That's our God. That's our mighty God. He uses His might to love His children, not to crush us. Oh, if you do not accept this God, this Jesus as your Savior, if you reject Him and say, I've got better help, I don't need Him, things are going fine, He will crush you on the day of His wrath. But hear His call to come to Him. Teach your children His call, that they come to Him as the one who's strong enough for them and gentle enough for them. so that in his hands a bruised reed will not break, and a smoldering wick will not be quenched. So great and gentle is he. Well, Jesus clearly fulfills this. When we learn in the New Testament, we see children or parents bringing their little children to him that he might bless them. And the disciples are irritated and upset that these parents would bother this great king and Messiah with such little bothers. Kids, get out. These little bothers and babies can't do anything for him. And Jesus is indignant, the Bible says. And he calls the parents. He called them to him. And he took them in his arms. Same word as Isaiah. Same words as Isaiah. Took them in his arms. Oh, gotcha. And he laid his hands on them and blessed them. And on one hand, he's teaching us all that this is the model for everybody. Jesus receives us not because we're worthy and because we're strong and we're adult and we can do things for him. He receives us because we're weak and helpless, like little masons, little babies. Can't do anything for God. And we must all become like little children and understand that about ourselves. Lord, I'm helpless. Take me, carry me. Love me because you are the good shepherd. Love me through this. That's a model for us. But at the same time, he's saying the little children in his covenant matter to him because he's a gentle, tender shepherd. And his might, in his might, he does not push them away as unimportant and useless to him, but brings them in and carries them. And extols his grace upon them. One more thing, he gently leads those that are with young. I love that picture too. There he is, Jesus, walking in the midst of the returning exiles. And there is a young mom, heavy in pregnancy, carrying her unborn baby. And there's another young mom, cuddling a nursing baby. And everything goes slower for those moms, right? Because that's quite a load to carry. And there's so many details to pay attention to. As husbands, we say, hurry. Why does it take so long? Hurry. Look at the time. We rush them impatiently. But Jesus gently leads them. He slows down to their pace. And he says, hey, let's take things a little slower so we don't lose steam. It's an image, it's a picture, but that's how Jesus deals with the ones who have an extra load to carry and those who are fretting. So he's a special blessing to young moms in his kingdom, but beyond to all those whose circumstances in life require that they have to walk a little slower right now. Maybe for a season, maybe the rest of their life. Things have so gotten upon them and stressed them on their pilgrim's pathway because of life's bumps and bruises and because of afflictions that they can't handle as much as they used to or can't handle as much as others right now. And Jesus gently leads you. You feel badly that you can't serve him with as much energy and accomplishment as you used to and as others do. But Jesus doesn't look at you that way. Well, you're not doing what you used to. You're not doing as much as him or her. You know. He says, let's travel at a pace that suits your situation. I won't get ahead of you. I'm with you. I'm with you the whole way. Well, brothers and sisters, we live in difficult times and there's lots out there against us and our children. Who would dare to serve the Lord Jesus in times like these when the Bible's teachings make you our culture's number one offenders? Who would dare raise a family in these times and train your children in these truths, which almost certainly will put Mason on the persecution list by the year 2040 when he's 19, Lord willing? Well, we don't know exactly what lies ahead on our pilgrim's pathway to the promised land, but we know where it leads. But most of all, we know who is with us in the midst. Strong. Gentle. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Behold your God. Trust him. He is everything you and your children need. Amen. Heavenly Father, your promises are for all of us, your children. In the wreckage even of our circumstances, maybe we look ahead to a life of unwanted loneliness and we ask, how can God satisfy me? We can look back at a devastating failure and ask, how can God forgive me? Or we can look up from the crater of some loss and ask, how can God comfort me? Show yourself to us today, the great and mighty shepherd of the sheep, the gentle one, tender and lowly, the one who is everything we need, and give us faith to come to you that we might have life, liberty, and eternal happiness, all in Jesus Christ. Amen.